I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It is my privilege to be with you today. I thank you very much for your warm welcome. Bishop Mayer is on vacation. He sends his greetings from New York City, where he is with his wife, Kathy, and his children and grandchildren. He could have picked a cooler week in New York, but there you have it. So please know that he is thinking of you and praying for you today, as always. When I was a kid, our family had a small farm. And like most small farms, it did not generate enough income to support our family, so my father also sold farm equipment for John Deere tractors. And he had a company pickup, white, shiny company pickup, with those metallic signs. Remember those? Magnets, that's it, thank you, that stuck to the side, and it usually had the name of the company, and his had a running deer, which is sort of what he did. He ran all over the county and helped people with their farm equipment. So I was thinking last week, if my mom van had those signs on the side, what would they say? And I thought, well, maybe they would have a picture of a crocus on them, you know, the first flower of spring, and it would say, "Harbinger of Change." Because I am usually sent out on behalf of the diocese when a congregation is in some sort of transition or challenge or change. And so that got me thinking about the word harbinger, which usually means messenger or forerunner, right? But it has another meaning. It means to provide lodging for. I thought that's a really great description of what I hope we as a diocese are able to do, is to provide a haven, a shelter, a working space in which you can discern your next good things. That's the goal. Change happens all the time. In ways big and small, the seasons roll by, you get a new job or you lose the job, a new season of your favorite show is canceled, you go on vacation, you move to a different house, Apple comes out with a new iPhone. Change happens. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we undergo any personal transformation, any heart change. But change here at St. Martin's is a great opportunity for more than change in circumstance, in personnel. In our reading today from Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae, Paul refers to the church as the body, of which Jesus is the head. And Paul reminds us that, in spite of the fact that we have been estranged from God and hostile to our neighbors and we've done evil, the power of Jesus' resurrection is meant to transform the world, beginning with Christ's body, beginning with us, beginning in us. The trouble is, when change appears on the horizon, our typical human reaction is to be anxious. And anxiety often short-circuits flexibility and creativity, stirs up fear and doubt, and causes tension and irritability. In today's gospel lesson, we see Martha experiencing a good kind of change. But anxiety comes with it. There's a new teacher in town, a rock star of sorts, a breath of fresh air, someone who is healing people and making religion and relationships new. When Jesus enters Martha's village, Martha steps out of the crowd and does the unthinkable. she boldly, bravely invites this Jesus to her home. This isn't the sort of invitation, you know, that you've prepared for that goes out in the mail weeks beforehand, so you have time to clean the house and, you know, make the menu and pack the larder. This is the sort of invitation where, you know, you invite somebody that you don't really think is going to come, and then they come. So Martha is doing what you or I would probably be doing, which is scurrying around, working up a sweat, trying to make sure that there are enough places to sit and enough food to eat and enough beverages to drink. As Martha is scurrying around, she realizes that she is in the kitchen by herself. Her sister Mary, who typically works in the kitchen alongside her, is sitting, just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. We often overlook the truly shocking thing that happens next. Martha goes to Jesus, accuses her guest of not caring what is happening to her, and then tells Jesus what to do. Imagine that Oprah or Desmond Tutu or Bruce Springsteen or somebody else that you really admire has come to town for a concert or a presentation, and for some reason you have backstage passes, and so you walk up and say, "Hey, would you like to come to my house?" Now imagine that person in your home. Would you ever tell that person what to do? Martha, in her anxiety, has lost her mind. Jesus has a very interesting response. He does not make fun of Martha. He does not tell her she's been a very bad, bad person. He basically says, "Look, your stress and anxiety have got the best of you. Just remember what's important." That's really an invitation to her. Just remember what's important. There is need of only one thing. In other words, don't get me another glass of water. Be with me. What is that one thing that Jesus wants her to do? To wait on God. To listen to God's word. There are many ways to listen, many places. This is one of them. The place you pray at home, the woods, poetry. They all involve some common elements. And two of those elements are silence and waiting for what God has to say when God has to say it. A while back, do any of you know Father Cortland Moore? I think he's filled in here on occasion. He's one of our old guard champions in the diocese, and I love to hear him preach. One time when he was preaching on this passage, he summarized it in this way. He said, "I have always thought that the gospel story for today about Martha and Mary typifies the differences between those who want to tell God how to run his universe and those who are willing to wait for him." During this season of transition at St. Martin's, change will happen. You'll get an interim rector, you'll do a search process, you'll talk about your mission, you'll make some decisions, and eventually you'll get a new rector. Change will happen. Change will also happen in your own lives as all of this corporate change is going on. The question is, what will help you to set aside anxiety when it comes and sit at Jesus' feet? What do you need to let go of? What sadness, what anger, what worry? What do you need to take up? What healing, what forgiveness, what hope? At the end of your pew, look, and there should be some index cards and envelopes. Now, some people were here before you last night and this morning, so you may have to ask your neighbor behind you or your neighbor in front of you. The pews in the back had cards and envelopes at both ends. Okay. So if you don't have one, ask your neighbor. I invite you to take that card and write on it the change you're opening yourself up to so that you can wait on God. What do you need? What change needs to happen in you so that you can wait on God and to serve as a conduit here and out there for God's love and light? This card is for you. You're the only one who's going to see it. So you write that on there. And then I invite you to stick that card in the envelope and seal it tight and put your address on it. Then I invite you to put it in the offering plate, and we will pray over that offering. And then I'll take those cards and send them to you without opening them, I promise. I'll send them to you in 6 months. You'll still be in transition then. But let's listen together. Let's wait together on God for what God has in store. And let's expect God to give us even those things which we cannot quite imagine, but which we need so we can receive more love, more peace, more joy, and be vessels of that here and out into the world. Amen.
Amen.